just this afternoon. Now, you know how big Deloitte is, right?
Yeah, we did a lot of work with them when I was at Citi. A lot of work with Deloitte.
Well, Deloitte is, as you would guess, a World Economic Forum partner. In 2020, they wrote a 24-page paper called Deloitte Insights. That's called The Fourth Industrial Revolution. Changing workforce dynamics dramatically. It's all talking about the gig economy. They did surveys saying that 84% of millennials and 81% of Gen Z prefer a gig economy. They were also awarded a $44 million no-bid contract by the CDC in 2020 to build a website to manage the scheduling and inventory and reporting of the vaccinations. And lo and behold, just like the Obamacare website, their website crapped out, and many states didn't adopt it for their vaccine management. But imagine that, getting a $44 million no-bid contract by the CDC.
Yeah, these guys, I mean, like Deloitte.
So who's driving? Yeah, they're going to help drive the gig economy because it is here. And in 2019, there's another paper out there. Deloitte Global wrote a 2019 paper called Human Capital Trends, and it's all about alternative workforce, which is now the new mainstream. And in their introduction in this paper, it points you to the Davos Manifesto and the World Economic Forum. So you see, now remember, 2019, you had BlackRock in Jackson Hole with the G7 summit discussing going direct. You had 2019, they're in the background paving the way to where they are reshaping our economies, the world economies, where the central banks are going to be, you know, the biggest player along with the Davos agenda. When we talk about vaccines and everything we just talked about in the opening, it has to be this way for another year because they're still reshaping everything that they want to happen, if that makes sense.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. You know, when I think of Deloitte, the CEO of Deloitte is Puneet Ranjan. Mm-hmm. And he was born in North India, okay? And then when I was at Citi, one of the CEOs of Citi was Vikram Pandit. He's another Indian-American banker. Mm-hmm. And when I saw, and I had to negotiate contracts in Mumbai and things like this. And I mean, these guys were, you want to talk about negotiators. You better be ready to negotiate with these folks. But Vikram Pandit was all about, we don't care about the U.S. workforce. They called everybody FTEs. You weren't even an employee. You were an FTE or full-time employee. And mm-hmm. his Pandit, Vikram Pandit, it's crazy when I look at, and I've read about what's going on at Deloitte too, because, you know, they're in 150 countries and they have, mm-hmm. and the CEO of Deloitte again, Puneet Ranjan, is almost a carbon copy of Vikram Pandit. And so what Pandit did was, and I nicknamed him Kung Fu Pandit, by the way. That was the same time that the Kung Fu Panda movies were out
from
Disney.
Yeah.
And that caught on. But I'm taking credit for that. But he wanted to reduce FTEs any way he could. And he wanted to offshore everything, primarily to India. And I'm saying, you're not saving any money here. It's costing you more money. But they say, no. You know, and plus, my argument to them was, it's security. Like once you offshore this financial data, they're giving it to folks in Mumbai and other places to input, to key punch and things. I mean, like people's banking information. I said, you don't have any controls over these things. in Mumbai, and it's like real, it's real delicate, to be honest with you, because you're meeting with the CEO and his top guys of Citigroup, and you can't tell Pandit that because he's from Mumbai, right? And he went to school there and everything. You can't tell him that before he went to Columbia University in New York City. You can't tell him, look, man, the people in your country are not the most honest people simply because there's massive cultural differences, and they don't have any problem if they leave your customer's banking information in the wind and say, you know, the Russians come by and offer a lot of money for the photocopies of checks. I'm talking about from consumers. I'm not talking about, you know. And they don't want to hear anything about that. It was all about reducing and bringing people over from outside the country. And that's how they think. So it's interesting that you're mentioning this about replacing American workers with more foreign
workers.
Because they've been doing that. They've been doing it. And Citi, of course, Citi is, now he's no longer there. Pandit's out. But when I look over at Deloitte, I see, oh boy.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Yeah. You know?
Right. And they're almost everybody I dig up is tied back to the World Economic Forum. So they've been telling us, like, we weren't paying attention because, of course, we're all caught up with, you know, American politics here. And still, till today, 19 months into this, you will not hear anything we've discussed for 19 months. Or anything we are discussing at this very moment anywhere on mainstream media, or even okay, really good alternative media, they'll talk about this stuff. But distraction alternative media that still wants you caught up with politics, no, they're not. They don't even know about it. They don't know about a lot of things that we discussed. If their arena is political, they're focusing on 2022, 2024. They're focusing on politics. They know nothing of what goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, I ask, you know, when I talk to other people, because remember, 5 years ago, getting people on the radio show, and I still have a lot of connections, people that are doing things out there now that are still in the political arena. I am not. Like, I was just asked, would love to have you on our podcast. No. And why? Because your audience would have a stroke because I will rip Trump and everything in politics to shreds. I would only hurt you. So no, thank you. Appreciate the offer, but no, thank you. If your audience is ever ready to be blackpilled, I'll be more than happy to come on.
Right.
So, you know, and I said I'm post-politics. I don't want to talk about politics because I can guarantee you the politicians you are speaking to in interviewing could not answer any of the questions I want you to ask. Either they are that unaware and naive to the global strings and their ideology, you know, they have the ideology that they can actually fix things. That is not possible. I said we cannot vote our way out of this. It has to be totally broken, burnt to the ground, and restructured. It's the only way. And I was telling people this week, you know, on social media, that it would be my dream if everybody, right, left, everybody that is sick of the two-party illusion, put their voter register card as no party affiliation. To send that message to DC and say, you know, this is how many people have exited the game. And I'm pleading with people, please do not give any politician a penny. So I keep hammering this, that these people are not going to save us. They can lie to you and say that that's what they're going to do or that's going to attempt to do, but that's not going to happen because everything we talk about, you can see the power that is behind it and has been behind it for years because it's happening. The gig economy has been growing. Now, starting in March of 2020, some people thought they just fell into a gig economy by accident. No, darling, you were pushed into it. Okay, you didn't even realize it.
Yeah, and
you
like
were
I said,
pushed into it.
Even Fortune 100 and 200 have been eliminating FTEs and basically adopting a gig economy. And they've been doing that
right.
for a
and
long time.
And there's different filing of taxes with this because it's not technically an independent contractor, right? Am I right? It's like there's 1099, I think, miscellaneous, and then there's like a 1099-K, and there's all these different levels. Now, when these people think they're making out well as a gig worker, and it depends on how they're getting paid. So every single transaction, especially digitally, like Venmo or PayPal or whatever, however you're getting your money, this is all tracked. It's not like, you know, where people are dealing in cash, you know, oh, do you want me to write this out to you or the company or whatever? No more of that.
Well, I have to tell you, I've talked to a lot of people. Just let me interject real quick. They don't even care if they're being tracked, their money at this point, because their philosophy is come and fucking get it. I'm not paying you any taxes right now. You're not getting tax. You don't represent me. And of course, this is probably a minority view, but it's out there and I'm hearing more about it. So I think it's growing. People have had
right,
it.
And the people that don't understand it, that are not setting that money aside, the people that are going to want to pay their taxes. I don't think they realize the amount of the tax bill they may get hit with, depending upon what category of this gig economy that they fall into. So you're really going to have a good accountant, and if you can't do it yourself, they're putting so much burden. You know, if you're a gig worker, like an independent contractor, you're not getting those benefits. You're not getting anything from the employer, right? You're just a gig worker. Or an independent contractor, or an alternative worker, whatever category you fall into. And that's why I said it was brilliant what they did with the private sector by saying, you know, you mandate the vaccines. Once your people reject it, then they're let go. They're not eligible for unemployment because it's insubordination, and they can't sue you because they're gone because they didn't follow your policy. So it was a very brilliant construct, if you ask me. I just don't think many people still understand why this is happening. Like, they don't know why this is happening. They don't know why in the middle of a pandemic you would let doctors and nurses go. And then you're going to be replaced with foreign workers.
Well, the governor of New York today threatened to do exactly that. Mm-hmm. And you guys can, if you don't want the medical workers in the not that it matters, I think. Long-term care facilities, I think those quote-unquote qualified medical workers did a number on about 30,000 seniors. So maybe I'll take my chances with the guy who can't speak English who just got here. I mean, I'm being a smart ass, but
but he's going to follow. They're going to follow the rules too, and we're seeing a lot of that. How many people just followed the rules, and they're admitting that they just followed the rules. That funeral director in the UK last week, he had came out with someone else that contacted him, a nurse, I think her name was Michelle. And he had said that she said to him, last year we were heroes and everyone cheered us. If they actually knew what we've done, they would stone us. So like I said, we're going to start to get more truth from these people that were on the front line. And you know, some of them were puzzled in the beginning, just like you and I were, like, why are they not doing that? Like common sense stuff, because anybody that's been sick kind of knows the routine when you go to a doctor or hospital. So that's why we were like just asking these common sense questions last year. Like it wasn't, you know, that I'm a rocket scientist and, you know, like had all these brilliant questions. It was because I lived it, you know, at my age, I've been sick a few times, and you know the standard protocol. The protocol usually is for them to toss you out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Like they only want you there. It's like, oh, 6-7 hours, you got to go. We need the bed. Here's your meds. If you get worse, come back. And that's it. And then we were seeing that wasn't the case. It was like you were getting dropped off and behind the Iron Curtain and you never saw your family again. So that was the immediate pattern we saw last year. So we're going to hear more. And looking at these foreign replacements, and then we look at the gig economy, and then the $3.5 trillion package, where, I don't know, did you cover this, about the banks wanting to spy on $600?
Yeah, we talked about that.
All right. So there you go.
They do that anyhow. It's like a joke. They do it anyhow. Like people, well, not to that degree, but people's perception of what really happens with banking is a little screwed up from Hollywood and TV. And by the way, done on purpose by the feds. You know, everybody thinks, if you're going to do something, keep it under $10,000 so that the bank doesn't report it to the feds. Well, that's a TV and a Hollywood and a Dick Wolf television construct. The actual limit's $3,000. So banks are
right now, and now they're knocking it down. So where I'm going with this is part of the restructure, the reimagine, the build back better, all of that. So if you tie the, and they, see what they do is they just do these things as if they, you know, they pulled it out of their ass and this is what we're going to do. But when you look back and you go, okay, and we find a little piece of the puzzle every week, we find a piece of the puzzle, just like the going direct stuff in 2019. And then you look at this and go, okay, so is this a move? If you're going to put this kind of pressure on banks to do this type of reporting for 600 and over, and if they're not equipped to do all this. So we see the second round of the mask mandates and vaccine passports, say in New York and all. We talked about that last week. If this is the second round to knock out the small businesses that they did not get in the first round, now you go to the banks and you knock out all your little mom and pop banks and your local banks, and they start knocking them out. Well, then does this tie into what BlackRock was talking about going direct? Because now they could build the central bank digital currency and now make it like direct from the consumer to the central bank. No in-between banks.
Well, they're trying to reinvent everything. And the financial, the financial system definitely is on the pallet. There's no doubt about it. And I
think this is a baby step. I really do.
One thing that's, hold on for a second. Is that DOE? One of the young bucks just slid something to me. Something came in. We got a transcript here of, I'm just reading through it real quick. This is on the fly, folks. It's a call that came in on the hotline, but we get transcripts when people leave calls on our toll-free hotline. And then so we can, so we can read it and be like, oh, this guy wants to stab me. So I'm not going to listen to that call. And this guy's
you gotta play those.
Threatening to fine me. And we had one guy, just real quick, he left me three messages this week. He's like, I've had it with you and that new platform I can't get on. And he's, you know, just like a menacing type call. And then we come to find out he was never even logged in. I was like, we had to call the guy and say, you're not even signed up. You're not logged in. How can you expect to get on a platform if you've never signed up for it and logged in? I mean, some folks, but anyway, it's just kind of one of the funny things. This is a federal contractor. And, you know, my translation of that is federal contractors, heavyweight federal contractors are basically federal agents. In kind, they have all the bells and whistles without the fancy pension. But I mean, this is coming. It's a call. And when I'm reading through the transcript, it's interesting timing because, and this just happened. This literally just happened. we're talking about, you're talking about collapsing the medical industry, right?
Yeah, that's just one. Education, right. Medical,
right.
Police,
well, this,
fire.
This would fall under the auspices of collapsing your national security, right? And mm-hmm. so allowing anything to go. So I'm going to play this, and then you can give me your opinion on it. If it says anything really out of control, I have to go back and edit it out. But let's try it. Let's give it a...
Yeah, we're not live. Go for it.
Okay, hold on for a second. Let me pipe this in.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Fellow Payne Patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a national security crisis going on, and due to these vaccine mandates. I don't know how else to say it, but we've got people protecting national security interests, not just at the site in South Carolina, but across the DOE complex, across the U.S. We've got people with clearance holders, with an additional clearances on top of clearances. That's how important this is. That have to follow strict guidance, medical, physical, and psychological examinations, and we have the Fed coming in to force vaccine mandates. This is a problem. We have the Fed coming in, strong arm in the private sector, all these contractors across the U.S. enforcing this. Not only that, but the vaccines that they're pushing, it's not the approved vaccine, the Comirnaty. That's not going to be available until 2024. And regardless, I'm not even taking that. And nobody else is either. Okay? The people that want to stand up for liberty and freedom, they're not going to take that shot either, because it's shit. Exactly what Project Veritas had revealed. We already knew that. All right? They're pushing EUAs. Across the DOE complex. They're already denying medical and physical religious religious exemptions. Medical and religious exemptions. They're already denying it and denying people. At Los Alamos, they've got people that are interrogating employees due to their religious exemptions. They're already telling employees at LANL that if they want to do a religious exemption, that they're going to put them with leave without pay, okay? Already knew this was freaking coming. And this is a fucking problem. We've got a president strong-arming the private sector, enforcing crap medicine on clearance holders, people that are protecting national security interests, all right? This was already coming, and they were already doing it before Biden made his announcement. This has to get national media attention, mass media attention. How is it flying under the frickin' radar? All these sites across the U.S. and not a frickin' word, not a peep. Already know in my area, the GOP the local GOP hasn't stuck their frickin' neck out because of the money flow. Yeah, and I found out from other leaders across different complexes that the GOPs there are not doing it either. Why? Because of the money. Follow the freaking money. More's coming. This is a fucking problem. And if people don't stand up for the liberties and freedoms, this country will fall. If the private sector goes within these contractors, the rest of the private sectors and communities will fall. Maria, Catherine, Austin Fitz, somebody, please help us. We've got to get mass media attention. This is an SOS call to all you patriots out there. Mike, please. Somebody. I've been working with a grassroots organization to try to help these employees. Thousands of jobs, thousands of families, thousands of children, where the federal government is threatening their way of life, their job, over a jab. We've got to encourage. We've got to arm the citizens with truth and knowledge. We've got to build a coalition of people that are willing to stand up for our freedoms. Think about it. The administration is creating national security vulnerabilities within our country due to the fact that clearance holders may be forced to take a crap vaccination that's not even approved. And they're lying about it. They're lying about it. They're approving the vaccine that's not even approved on sites, on government sites. How is that? Because they make this stuff up in thin air. We have to stick together as one. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. We have to, as a family unit. Lord, help us, please. I pray that this message gets out across the country, even the globe. This is our nuclear arsenal that the administration is destroying. The people that are protecting it. We have Fed guys, men and women in the federal government that's standing up against this because they know it's wrong. You can't force a medication on people with clearances like that. It goes against 10 CFR 712 and 710. There's strict guidance against this. But the administration is getting away with it. The Fed is strong-arming the contractors, and they're getting away with it. Lord, God. This is a problem, and I hope that the people listening, I hope you hear my message. Mike, I hope you hear my message. I've already talked to you about it. Oh, God. I don't know what else to do. But we need mass media attention. And this shit is going under the radar. And nobody cares. I fucking care. I care. I'm willing to risk my job, my way of life, to get this message out. Ugh, please help. I beg of you. Lord, help us. Thank you, Mike.
Well, you go first.
Every word he's telling the truth. I mean, think about, you mentioned it today. How many years have they reshaped the military?
Yeah,
this is what they're doing. Every single word he says is truth. Now, what I would do, I would rip that into a tape and I would get that to as many contacts as you can. Yeah. Get it to Catherine Austin Fitz, get it into the hands of everyone that will listen to it and play it. So that has to go viral because he's speaking truth.
This is DOE.
The demolition.
So this is DOE. So this is has to do literally with our nuclear reactors.
National security, right?
Yeah, I mean,
right.
It's heavy stuff. NSA is involved. This DOE, National Regulatory, NRC.
They are destroying from within. This is so many years in the making. So many. They think. That they're, oh, this all of this stuff is just happening because of the pandemic. No, this damn stupid ass germ that's 100% survivable. It was just used as the vehicle to do all this demolition. I mean, think about it. What's in this vaccine? Now, whether it's placebo for some, and God only knows what. But the fact that they're using the mandates, one, to push you out of your job, okay, that's number one. But number two is we still don't know all the ingredients, and Pfizer is supposed has a secret ingredient that they've not released, and some people are trying to get those redacted ingredients made public.